This episode is brought to you by Burrow and ExpressVPN. Also, go to my YouTube and subscribe, youtube.com/rsickler. Let's get into the Dew.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler, quarantine hair on full effect. Can't get this fucking nail polish off my goddamn hands. I was unaware that there was some kind of fortress being applied to these goddamn things. So I'm working on picking that shit off. In the meantime, I hope you all are staying safe and healthy. I hope you're keeping your sanity. I know this is a crazy time, unprecedented in the world here. Some news, if you haven't heard, we're moving the Honeydew to my YouTube channel. So go now. There'll be a link in the description of this show and links at the end of the show. You can click out and subscribe right there. Please, if you want to support the show, if you want to keep hearing the Honeydew, get over to my YouTube. June 1st, we will begin over there. All right. I am also working on the Patreon right now. It's not out yet. I don't want to charge people money until the content's ready. It will be ready in a couple of weeks. Called The Honeydew with Y'all, where I will do Honeydews with Y'all. It's pretty self-explanatory in the title there. And I want to say thank you to everybody out there, Night Pants Nation out there, supporting The Honeydew Night Pants. Look at these night pants. I'm telling you, quality night pants, cotton pockets, the patch, all of it. They're great. I bought cheaper shit at Ross and TJ Maxx. These are great, great night pants. Got hoodies, tees, all that over there if you want it. New stuff at Upstate Merch. They're great guys. Working on a little short web series right now called Learner's Permit with my stepson who has his learner's permit. I take him out in the car, teach him a little bit about driving and more about life. That'll be coming out soon. Going to try to keep you guys entertained with some content. And just go over to my Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me everywhere. Keep up with all the information. At Ryan Sickler. Now, the website for this show, thehoneydewpodcast.com. And if you're new to the show or if you're not really sure what goes on over here, as I say, we highlight the lowlights over here. All right. We find a little bit of that light in the darkness. And these are the stories behind the storytellers. And today, our storyteller is no stranger to the Dew. Ladies and gentlemen, back again, Josh Potter, y'all.
Hey.
Welcome back to The Honeydew. Welcome back, brother.
I'm clapping for myself. Yes, you look should. Like you used to run Warp Tour, like with those with those fucking nails, dude. Like,
listen, bro, you're gonna like this. So, yesterday I pull into Chick-fil-A. I'm getting lunch for the kids and shit. And this black dude with dreads is he's standing outside the drive-thru window. They keep 6 feet, and he's got his mask on, but he's talking to the lady right inside the window who's doing the registering. He's like, this dude's got his nails painted. But he does. But he forget. I think people forget because you wear a mask.
Yeah.
That I can still hear you, motherfucker. Right, right. I can't see your lips moving, but I can still hear you. And he goes, this dude got his nails painted. Look at this shit. P.S. And I'm, look, be yourself. Let your freak flag fly. But I've seen some motherfucking freaks at that Chick-fil-A. So to be calling out my nails.
And you just like, look like the bass player from Crazy Town. It doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't like.
I can't.
Because you're like, you have like the gray hair too. It's like, you're like, yeah, this, you're like, 1998 was the shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's what all it looks like.
And he's trying to do that tight lip stuff, but he doesn't have to because I can't see his mouth anyway. He's like, this guy's got his nails, man. Look at this shit. And he goes, wait till I turn around and give him his food. Go ahead. Now look. I go, you trying to talk about my nails? I stuck them right in his face. He backed up. I go, my nails?
You can hear all this, by the way.
He's 6 feet away. My ears work. I'm like, yeah, my daughter painted these for me. Yeah, he's right. You want to see my nails? I go, he's right. But you can't whisper worse shit, but you can see my fucking nails.
Oh my
God. Just drove out of there laughing.
That's hilarious.
And I can't get this shit off.
Damn.
First of all, I know we don't have dates to promote. Yeah, all of our foreseeable dates have been canceled now.
Yeah, I do
so
have
what would you like to promote?
My Sacramento date got rescheduled for September 3rd through 5th.
Maybe.
So if you want to roll the dice on that. But I would like to promote my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Josh_Potter. It's literally my job now. So please subscribe, and I hope I can see you on there. I play baseball. I'm a professional baseball player.
You're over 300 home runs, aren't you?
Yeah, it's not a great stat considering I played for 12 years, but...
Wait, your 12-year digital video career took you to get 300?
Yeah, it did, unfortunately.
Are you at 3,000 hits yet?
Yes, I am. But I I was injured for two seasons as well, and so I consider it kind of a 10-year career. But also, I smoke a ton of weed and drink during it. So, I mean, what ball player can vouch for? I mean, I guess
NFL
there are a few
players and NBA players.
Yeah, I guess there are a few baseball players actually that hit 300 home runs that are like, "Fuck you! I smoked weed while I was doing it for real." You know, Daryl Strawberry's like, "Go suck a dick, bro." Fucking playing video games over there. I was
cocaine
doing
cocaine and everything else.
I did a line before I went to the plate. You know what I mean? I love guys like that. Those are my favorites. So aren't they
Lawrence Taylor?
Don't they make them more cool to you? Like that they did drugs and then performed at a high level.
And what's his name that pitched on acid through the nose?
Doc Gooden.
Yeah, Doc Gooden.
And then like Michael Phelps would do like huge bong rips and then swim faster than any human being ever has. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. I want to celebrate those athletes. Fuck these Wheaties, squares, you know?
Well, let's talk about, we've got some stories, obviously. You come prepared always.
But... Oh, yeah, but no, I mean, that's been what, Twitch has been what's been keeping me alive during the quarantine, by the way, as well. Like, it's all I've been doing because we have no comedy shows.
But do you talk to other people on there? Is it an online thing where there's a community or are you just by
yourself? Yeah, people are watching and they can chat. And they can write things and I can
tell you respond and all that.
Like, if they want to, I mean, I can also ban them, but everyone's been very pleasant and they like, you know, it's basically like a podcast. Like I just go on and I talk and tell stories or talk about sports or whatever. And then people can ask questions or whatever. So, you know, it's been fun and it's been helping me like have an outlet.
Yeah. How are you doing? I know you said you're
not
struggling
great.
A little bit.
Yeah. Haven't been doing great. I don't know. It's a lot of comics you talk to. They're like, this has been relaxing. And I'm like, relaxing? I don't know. I mean, it's literally I guess if you're on the road constantly and some people can get tired of it, you know? I've heard that. But I wasn't one of those people. I was like, fucking burn me into the ground. Like, let's go. I want to be on the road 52 weeks a year, you know what I mean? And then when this happened, it was like starting to get to that point, you know? Like, things were starting to happen for the first time ever. And I explained to you outside, it's like, you know, Will from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Like my career was the upside down like 4 years ago. And I just thought, I'm like, well, I just live in the upside down. So I just like did drugs and self-medicated. I'm like, well, if I could just scrounge up enough fire hall gigs, I can, you know, get by every year or whatever. This could be my life. I'm doing comedy at least. And then like right when it starts to get to the point where I'm like, I'm doing this shit for real, the coronavirus happens. So I like have those moments like season two Will where he's like blipping back into the upside down like all of a sudden, you know? So then I would spiral, like death spiral. But Xanax has been helpful. And I've been
But you had stopped
that.
It though, you said, right?
Now when I moved here, I stopped doing Xanax, yeah. And because I was just using it to get through. I was like using it to cope a different way.
And I think that
now I stopped it cold when I came here and then this put me back to it, but it's been helpful. I probably between Twitch and Xanax, I don't know. I would have been
switching
carrying
on Xanax.
Yeah, between Twitch and Xanax combined, those two things have stopped me from like climbing a bell tower with a rifle. You know what I mean? Like,
let's keep so, eating that Xanax.
Yeah. I mean, not to be dramatic or anything, but not doing stand up has been. Think it's oh, like sacrificing.
I miss stand up, man.
I mean, like, it's the fact, like, the loneliness hasn't been different for me. I moved here without knowing anybody. You know what I mean? That part,
me too, yes.
I can handle that. And I'm, like, still in the throes of that.
But see, that's, loneliness is different than being around people.
Right.
And I say that all the time. I realize more and more how social I am, even though when I'm in social settings, sometimes I'm antisocial.
Right.
In that setting. Like, I'm very comfortable getting up in front of a crowd of people I don't know. Performing hello and a few of the people. I've never been the hangout guy,
right?
And then I go home, you know, like
right.
Because I don't want to be social, but we are social people. And to be like, they talk about, you know, self-distancing and all this, and our circles on any given week we see thousands of people.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing three or four, you know what I mean? So I have quite social distance myself.
Yeah,
but
it's weird.
Not and the way where my material comes from is observation and life and you know, things that happen and I see that I think are funny or oh, that shit I can make. I, you know, even if I'm very comfortable going and eating dinner by myself, mm-hmm. you know, all those things, but I'm around other people.
Right.
I don't know them. I'm not interacting
That's
with them,
exactly.
but I'm observing. So I hear you. So the best thing I ever built in my life or made in my life is a family. It's the best God thing. I'd be going insane right now, like you.
That made me realize it had this whole thing. Like it made me
have a kid.
It made
for
me
the next pandemic.
Yeah, right. But it did make me realize, because I was just having this conversation, I think with Tom, like just right before all this, where I was like, you know, I would make the same choice 100 times out of 100. The hardest part about all this has been like isolating myself from everyone that I grew up with and
yeah.
my family and everything. And it's completely been worth it, 100%. Like I said that moments ago, but then like this happens and you go like, is it worth it? But I still would 100%. I would be like, yeah, it's worth it. I would rather be isolated in this way right now than I would be like if I was back home. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
for sure. You're 100%. Also in, this is one of the biggest cities in the world. And
yeah.
it is slowed down. I mean, it's like our planet has been put on pause.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if these videos are real about these dolphins coming back in the canals. I saw an elk run through Paris and stuff. And then I thought about like, well, it would kind of
like
make
Lion
sense.
King or like that, yeah. that documentary was like Life After People, where it's like weeds are growing on buildings and shit.
Well, the only reason animals aren't where we are is because we're there.
Yeah, exactly.
So if the city is really empty, mm-hmm. it'd be kind of cool. I'm sure they're probably fake, but it gives you hope. But we are also, where my daughter's mother lives, we all quarantine together. So my stepson's there, my daughter's there, her mom is there. And then right next door are these two little girls that I did that video with to promote the night pants. Honey, do night pants available in the merch store at RyanSickler.com.
It's funny though, because my like,
because you're on top. That's what the problem is with New York. If you live in a 30-story building, you're all touching the same elevator buttons, doorknobs, garage, whatever it is,
yeah.
front doors. You're everyone just boom, boom, boom. So the doctor was like, look, if you guys live less than 15 feet from each other, you're like family. Some people got 8 people in their family.
Yeah.
So we just go outside. We play ping pong. We just try to pass the time. But it is fucking hard. And I had a honeydew moment the other day I want to tell you about, because I was telling you outside. And then we can get into your stories and I'll shut
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
But I have developed a weed smoking habit on top of my weed smoking habit. And I'm not complaining. I love it.
Yeah.
But I take my weed walks and I'll smoke some joints and just take walks. And the whole time I'm, you know, being creative. I'm working on this studio right now that where we're going to be moving. That's the other thing, you know, about here too. Like I have two kids that school's canceled for the rest of the year.
Yep.
My daughter's mother works. She still has to go into work. So you can't have babysitters. You can't have people come over. So I got to watch the kids. And now my schedule's so fucked. I can't even get here when I need to get here.
Right, right.
My
right.
new studio is a mile from my place. I can walk. I can do it at night. I can do it on weekends. I can do whatever I need to do, because this fucking virus just fucked up my whole.
That's wild.
Kids because, from March until September, no babysitters, no days
that's
off.
That's wild. Because I have nothing but time, and you now have like no time. Like the difference.
And I've never been busier, which is crazy. I'm hoping I can get everything I need to get done so I can just chill for a fucking minute.
Right.
I would
right.
like to chill. I've never been busier. But anyway, I'm out on this weed walk, and it's during the day. And the day prior to this particular weed walk, I was talking to a friend of mine from high school. We were on Zoom. I'm walking around smoking this joint talking, and I keep seeing this older dude. He's mad dogging me from his door, just mad dogging. And he's on his phone, but he's just watching me. I can tell he wants to approach me.
He's glaring you down? He's like giving you a stare down? Okay.
Big time. And I'm just strolling back and forth. And then the next day I'm out there talking to another friend. But this time we're on the phone, and I see him again. He goes, excuse me. And I'm smoking a joint and I'm like, hey, hold on a second. I'll give you a call back. This old man's getting my attention. He's like, excuse me. And I was like, oh, shit, here we go. He's going to say, don't smoke weed in front of my house.
Right.
Or whatever.
Where's your mask, motherfucker?
And,
were you smoking the weed through a mask?
No, I was not.
Have you tried that, by the way?
Here. No, I haven't tried that.
I do, yeah.
I feel like I'd just leave like brown bong rings.
It did, dude. I was smoking cigarettes through it. I was like outside. I'm like, I don't
catch
like,
your fucking face on fire.
Threw the
bro.
Mask over side.
So he's like, excuse me. And I was like, oh, this dude's going to yell at me for smoking weed or whatever. And he goes, I see you walk by here every day, and you spit a lot. you spit, and I'm already older with, I'm compromised a bit, and you have a really bad habit of spitting, and I was wondering if you could just not spit. Now, I'm standing in his driveway with a lit fucking joint that's just, you know.
Right.
And I looked at this dude, and I was like, man, go fuck yourself. I'm just kidding. I would never. I told my daughter's mother, she's like, you said that to an old man, a neighbor? I go, fuck no, I didn't say that. I spit right in his mouth.
Motherfucker. I was like, here's some COVID
but
right
he,
here, bitch.
I was so embarrassed. And I looked at him, and I just stood there frozen. I was like, you're right. I do have a terrible habit of spitting. I'm a spitter. Ever since I played ball, if I drink a drink and spit after I brush my teeth, sometimes spits. But I like to spit, and I was
that's
like,
"Wild!"
I am embarrassed because. And then for a second, I thought, "Is he going to ask me for a hit of this joint?" Yeah. I wasn't sure where it was going, and I
was
like,
"That's because like that's one of those things where like you do and you hate that you do it, and you always like are conscious of it, but you think no one else notices." You're like,
"This dude had been watching out his window.
This is just some guy." Fucking,
he said, "I said, sir."
Fucking
I'm embarrassed.
Over
I
here,
told like, him I am embarrassed that you had to come out of your home and say that to me, and I apologize sincerely for making you come in because I'm just hanging on by a thread. I go, dude, I get it, man.
That's
it will
hilarious.
Not happen.
This
again.
Guy's out the window. Like,
he was for days watching. I'm just out there
spitting every day,
spitting at his driveway. He's like, if you could just not spit around
is he
my
like a fucking dog, got to spit to mark his territory.
I couldn't believe it. I was humiliated. I was like, God damn, bro.
That's the chick from Bewitched, right? Edna Kravitz, who would like look out the window all the time
yeah,
at people.
I think so, yeah.
Be like, they're doing some crazy. That woman was like gaslighted all the time because she'd be like, I think our neighbor's a witch, and her husband would be like, you're crazy.
Yeah,
and she was a witch. It's like the ultimate gaslighting. I always felt bad for that television character, but I've been going on weed walks myself. That's like the only thing getting me out of the house. And weed stores, as you know, are essential.
Essential, thank God.
So there's one that I walk to, and I've been going in it, and I'll buy a joint, and then I'll smoke the joint on the walk home. And the guy the other day, he was like, hey, man, you know you could buy like four joints yeah. for... And I go, dude, I need this. Can you just let me have this, man? You know, I was like, it's not about... the joints. It's about the walk. Sorry, I didn't mean to bang the table.
That's okay.
Yeah, but I forget what I put up here, and it's too small for me to read, so why don't you tell me where
how
you are?
How about finger
oh,
store?
Oh, shit. I forgot. You're going to have to beep his name, because I don't know if he wants to be in there, but he is a... I don't know if you know who that is, by the way. He is a former Buffalo Bills player. Let's just put it that
Bills.
Way.
I don't know why I thought NBA, but
I can get into more detail of his career for you after the show. But because I don't know, I found out that he doesn't remember this story, but I don't know that he'd want me to like mention it. But he did. He said, "Oh, that sounds like some Buffalo shit." So he remembers, but he kind of doesn't remember exactly what it is. But my best friend Matt Bergman is a comedian, big road dog. He's actually got a dry bar comedy special out there right now if you want to check that out. But he used to get all these Bills players to like him somehow. You know what I mean? Like through performing around town. Somehow he'd become friends with. And I was always so jealous of him, you know? Because mm-hmm. He'd be hanging out with some of the coolest players. Some of them weren't that cool, you know? But some of them were really cool. And I would be like, man, that would be so much fun. And it was Thanksgiving Eve and we did a show. And this particular player came to the show and invited us afterwards to go to a nightclub with him where he was going to have like the whole shebang, you know, the booths and the bottle service and all that. So we go and my friend has two girls with him. And one of the girls is just kind of like this like cute, but like nerdy girl or whatever. So we go and I get fucking hammered. I'm like, we're having bottle service with fucking this Buffalo Bills player. This is amazing. Like, there's other Bills players there. I'm like, I'm fucking living it up, you know? I forget how old I was, 23 or something like that. I'm like, this is the best. And me and this girl start talking, and then we're like, I'm borderline blackout drunk, but we start like grinding on the dance floor, me and this girl, like disgustingly. Like, I'm talking like borderline having sex with our clothes on. Like, it was like we were in that kind of trance where it was like we thought we were having sex, even though we were completely clothed. That type of gross dancing, you know? And eventually, like, it gets to the point where we're just, like, sweaty messes. And we just, like, fall into one of the the VIP booths that we're hanging out in around all of these like athletic, black athletic men. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that. And it's me and this white girl in the middle of this booth, and I just start. We like start going at it, like, and
you're having sex?
No, I start fingering her at the booth, like in front of all these people. Like, she's completely down, by the way. This isn't like, she's like, finger me. She's like telling me to do it, basically. She's like,
finger me.
Yeah, hey, yeah. Dude, she was like, she was aggressive. I mean, those nerdy ones, sometimes they get real like a wild hair up their ass, you know? And, you know, we're, and she's probably having, you know, excited about the access that we've just been having and drinking for free and everything. And,
no, you're excited about that access.
Oh, so, and I mean, we're acting like no one's around. Let alone, like, again,
Doug
athletes.
Flutie and yeah, Buffalo yeah, Bills.
The 2012 Buffalo Bills are all around. And I overhear this particular player go, like, what the fuck? And, like, I didn't stop. And
because he wasn't talking to you, you know?
Not well, yeah, name. Not really. But, like, so my
no, but I mean, did you think he was? Or were you just like, that's some side
I
shit?
I thought
over there?
Maybe, I don't know. I'm like, he's not grabbing me and telling me to stop or anything. I mean, I'll wait till it's really addressed directly.
I mean, she's asking me to finger.
I mean, she's not stopping either. She wasn't like, yeah. The what the fuck didn't deter her from continuing. So, my buddy Matt, I hear him go, like, isn't that crazy? Just like, let him go. He doesn't get laid a lot. Or so. He said something like that or whatever. And he goes, I don't give a shit, dude. That's my hero. That's what this particular Buffalo Bills player said in that moment. That made me stop. And I shook his hand. I took my hand out of the girl.
Yeah. You took your hand out of her vagina.
I took my hand out of the girl and shook his hand.
Oh my God.
Talk about that, you know?
Oh, my God.
And he shook it. And he goes, oh, shit. He was like, I felt like. And, yeah, like. I guess, you know,
oh my God.
I brings a tear to my eye, honestly, now knowing this new world with COVID-19. We might not be able to shake any hands ever again.
I mean, let alone
take one out of a pussy. And, I mean, do you think that would have been allowed these days?
Fuck no.
That ain't social distancing
that's
at all.
My hero.
Yeah. But I had to acknowledge that.
Sounds
sure.
Like some Buffalo shit.
And then my friend, because I texted my friend about it. I'm like, will you ask him if he remembers it? You know, because like I wanted to talk about it and see if I could like bring up his name. And he goes, he says he doesn't remember it, but it sounds like some Buffalo shit.
That is so good, dude.
But yeah, so
my God.
I like dirty Sanchez'd him, but not, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Do you ever have a stripper do that to you, by the way?
I'll tell you what I have had. Not that. I've never had a stripper put a finger up herself and then give me the mustache.
Oh, well, no. That's
you've had
a shame.
That?
I have, yeah.
Well, you go first.
And I don't know if this is, by the way, like, before I don't take my verbiage on the next explanation as gospel, because I don't know if this is, like, a crime or not or something, because
I believe
like,
a dirty Sanchez is
no I know that, but I'm saying the reason why we were doing this was the record label people that would come in from Warner Brothers to my radio station, they would take us to the Canadian strip clubs for like a night out, put it all on the Warner Brothers car.
Yeah.
So we'd go ham,
and Canadian,
you know?
Strip clubs, yeah,
yeah, so like $200
they
at
get freaky up in
if you have 200 whatever Canadian goof money they have up there. If you have 200 of whatever that is,
Monopoly
loonies,
dollars.
Yeah, they call them loonies, okay? I mean, Jesus. If you have 200 of that, you can get two women in one of these horseshoe things to basically have sex with each other. And so we used to go up with these Warner Brothers guys. I don't know if I should be saying the record label's name. They're all not working there anymore. But we would go up for thumbs, we'd call it. And what thumbs was we'd pay the 200 and we'd get the two girls to put thumbs in each other's butts at the same time.
Okay.
In the horseshoe thing. So we'd all be sitting in a horseshoe thing. I thought it was like juvenile and I was the youngest one. These are like 40-year-old men and I'm like 19 and I'm like, this seems a little juvenile. You know what I mean? Like, and I hated strip clubs, but I would go because, you know, free drinks and stuff and warn, you know, these guys, I mean, hey, Linkin Park was on the label. But so, I forget even why I brought this up. Oh, so what they did was we were doing thumbs and one of the fucking stupid ass label execs like whispered in one of the ears, like, give Josh a dirty Sanchez. So she was like doing thumbs and then she was like, you like, well, she was like, you know, Russian or whatever, saying, you know, you like this or whatever. And I was like, sure. Yeah. And then she goes, squished. And I was like, what the fuck,
dude? Oh, dude, I would have thrown. Oh, fuck. That yeah, would definitely then, not be allowed right now.
And bro. Then, like, everyone laughed, and they were like, we did it to Eric last time. And I was like, oh, cool.
Okay,
I mean, like,
so Eric got shit on his face. Now
Eric's like, yeah, man, they did it to me last time.
Oh, my God. No, I've never had that.
But, you know, I don't care. I'm a scoundrel anyway. I was like, I'll put my fucking tongue up there, lady. You think you're trying to play
a
trick on me?
That's at your own will. You know what
yeah,
saying?
But you know what I'm saying. Like
you
she was
give
trying
that a little litmus.
You gotta,
test before
you gotta
go right
alpha
in.
Them though. It's like she was trying to like get one up on me to make me be like, oh, gross. I was like, listen, lady, you could. I'll suck your fucking thumb. Get that shit out of my face. I'm not like these other suits over here that get all willy, like little skittish when you put your fucking shitty thumb in their nose. You know.
So you just did you go wipe your face?
No, I took it. I was like, oh, that yeah, hilarious, guys. Like I just like kind of acted like I didn't care. You know,
you're a better man than me because I would have been throwing fists at the dudes for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was young and they were old. They were like,
I
would have
put my thumb
older
right
men.
In his eye and gave him pink eye.
You know, at the time when you're like 19 or whatever, a guy in his like 30 seems like a dad to you or whatever.
That's
know?
Who I would have beat. Yeah, the older guy and teach him a lesson.
Oh man, that's.
Not I'll tell you what has happened to me. I've not had that. I had I was at a club in Baltimore. It's called Night Shift. It's still there, and they have a The way it worked, at least in Maryland, and I think it's here too, is you can only show boobs if you serve alcohol.
You can only show boobs if you don't serve alcohol.
That's it.
Yeah. You can have to have pasties if you serve alcohol. It's right. Like that in most states.
But their workaround was you could bring your own beer.
BYOB.
And so instead of paying, so you would pay like a $25 or $20 cover charge to get in. You bring your beer. They'll keep it cold, serve it to you. You tip the
waitress.
Yeah, the waitress. And
cocktail waitress.
This girl gets up, and at the time I'm wearing a baseball hat, and my buddy's sitting to the left of me, or he's actually to the right. This girl comes out, and she sits down in front of us with her back facing us, okay, and then throws her legs over her head. So her left leg hooks my left shoulder. Her right leg hooks his right shoulder. I mean, she is spread this wide.
So she pulls you together?
First, she cracks our fucking skulls together.
Jesus.
Okay, which I was not expecting, and then pulls us violently into her fucking everything. Pussy, ass, all of it, and is banging us. Like, it's like giving, I'm like, God, it's like I'm getting pummeled, you know what I mean? Pummeled. And it is awful. And then I look over at him, and he looks at me, and he's like, dude, you have shit all over your face, like glitter, and I was like,
I thought you meant shit.
No,
shit.
But then I was like, you got something other than glitter on your goddamn face. I don't know what that is, bro. We were in the bathroom, just I was gagging. We're just dousing our face, like, oh my God.
There was a real dirty scallywag place like that in Fredonia, New York, a college town in upstate New York, and it was like there wasn't a stage; it was like a deck was built for the girls to walk on.
Yeah,
and it was like that BYOB, and like. They let kids drink underage at it and shit like that. And I remember you used to be able to lay. I went again. This is like very drunk Josh, college drunk Josh. I remember like we would go there and all we would lay on the deck and you'd put a dollar bill on your face and the girl would take the dollar bill off with her pussy.
I've seen that at the clubs before, too.
That's
the dirtiest thing you could touch, money.
Yeah.
You're touching it with your pussy, and he's touching it with his mouth.
Not just touching it with your pussy.
Grabbing it
with your pussy.
How do you practice that shit at all?
I don't know. It's
kind of like one of those dummy mannequins, those CPR mannequins. You're just down there getting it.
They're just Kegels. Yeah. I wonder what else she's like can pick up with it. You know, she's like picks up quarters like around the.
Oh, I had, I'll give you a couple. It's funny because. I didn't realize, how do I put this? I guess when I would see a beautiful woman, I guess I thought everyone thought that woman was beautiful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You think everyone else, that girl's hot. And
you don't
think
beauty's subjective until you have a conversation about it.
Right. And then I get to this, when I first moved here, this is in the late 1900s, it was like 97, I go to this fucking strip club. I lived in North Hollywood, okay, but I lived in Old North Hollywood, West North Hollywood.
Okay.
When I would jog through the neighborhood, they would tell me, you know, you're the only white boy in the neighborhood. They would tell me that.
Yeah, okay.
And then when I first moved in, the cops knocked on my door the first night and was like, hey, two doors up is a gang-affiliated building. There's been a murder. The body's out. I was like, this is my first apartment on my own out here. And one night I walk up to the strip club. I still have my Maryland ID. And I go with a buddy, and the dude's like, I'm not supposed to let you in because you have an out-of-state ID. And I kind of look around real quick, and I was like, I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? This is not, it's accordion music and shit's going on up there. And I'm like, what are we dancing to this? We get in, we get a beer, we sit down. It's one of these that has like the stage here with the curtain, like Cheetah.
Yeah.
Cheetahs, but it's got the curtain and then that long runway.
Okay.
And this lady, I mean, she throws open the curtain, and she's built like, remember Weeble Wobbles, little Weebles Wobble, but they
of
don't.
Of course, they
like
don't fall
egg.
Down.
She's got legs and arms like Humpty Dumpty. And she comes out, and they are whistling and cheering. I was like, "Oh my God, people find her attractive."
Right.
I don't, and I'm like, "Huh." And she comes out, and she sits.
Can
down.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Was she like us?
She was Latina.
Okay.
She walks down the run. I mean, struts her shit down the runway, and I'm talking about belly, everything, and she is not. She's not. Insecure at all,
no.
At least on this stage.
Exactly.
She just came to life. She struts down there. She sits down. She pulls both of her legs up so they're like this. And then she does like a little boop, boop, boop on her ass cheeks and does a 360 and then all the way back down. And they're going nuts and throwing dollars. And I was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. But I just got up and left. I was like, I don't need any
you
more.
You were watching
shit.
Some people respect more of her art form
yes.
than they were her
yes.
physical.
And I was like, if that's what's going to be coming out of that beaded curtain back there, I'm fucking good.
It's interesting because there is strippers like that. And like also I've noticed, what's that other burlesque dancers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, every now and then you get a burlesque dancer where you're like, Jesus. And then they like do a dance and everyone's like, they're so brave, you know, or whatever. And so I think that's celebrated and that's wonderful. But then you also have the one where they come out and you're like, holy shit, this girl is so hot. Oh, my God. And then they're like, when they dance, it's like, are you even like trying right
yeah.
now? Like, what are you doing? You know, and it's like that with I find sex as well. You know, like, have you ever been with a girl that you're like, God, she's so, and then you have sex with her and it's like, this was that was not nearly as fun as that fucking whale that I had sex with like 2 weeks, you know what I mean, like the huge girl, you know, or whatever.
I had sex with a girl one time that when I communicate, I like to talk shit,
yeah,
and she covered my mouth and she went shh, no talking, and I was like, oh my God, what fucking, I'd love to have her as a guest on this show right now because I'm like, what the fuck happened where we're not allowed, neither of us are allowed to talk.
Wow.
Have you ever had sex in, I mean, complete silence?
Yes, because
it is awful.
My one girlfriend lived with people, and she would be like, they're going to hear us. So she would do that, too. She'd cover my mouth, and I wasn't even making, I was just breathing. And she would cover my mouth, and I would be like, a little unnecessary. Like, unless
breathing.
You're getting off at the whole, like, we have to do this in secret thing, relax. I mean, come on. I mean, they're not even near us. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just breathing out loud. You can't be like, shh, you know?
I used to share.
It's so annoying. It made me, like, angry during sex.
It's,
like,
that's a weird thing.
Yeah, I was
it's
like,
only
I'll
happened once,
fucking...
too, and I was like, whoa. But the...
We'll see how quiet you
I shared a wall with this hot chick that used to live next to me back
yeah.
in the day, and her hut, she was married, and they would fuck a lot. And when she would come, she would cry. And it would wake me up at like 2 a.m. and I would be like, well, whatever.
She would cry?
I would just jerk off to it. It was like porn. Like, I'm instead of getting mad and banging on the wall, I just like, well, whatever.
Was
I
it mean, like, what kind of cry was it? Like, was it like a sob?
She would scream.
Or
she'd be
like,
give it to me, Steve. Give it to me, Steve. And then she'd be like, oh. And I was like, oh, that's fucking hot.
Okay,
and I would
so
go to bed.
She's like moaning. She's not crying. I thought you were saying she would
no,
be done.
She would
and
whimper.
She would be like,
no, she would.
Okay,
not
but,
like, not sobbing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah
there's a
sobbing.
Difference. I thought she was like,
I thought I heard, I can't believe I did that.
Crying is a different, yeah, that's a different word. She was like,
whimpering.
Oh, God.
So, when you put it like that.
Because
yeah.
the way you said that, I'm like, and then you're like, I jerk off to that shit. I'm like, what?
And then one day, I was leaving my apartment and I saw him coming in. And I just walked by and I said, what's up, Steve? And he snapped, I'd never met him. He snapped his fucking neck and I laughed and I got my car. And as I drove away, I thought, what if he's not Steve? And I'm not kidding you, within a few months, they had moved out.
Whoa.
And I wondered. I always wondered, like, was that not
you
Steve?
You fuck it up?
Yeah. I wondered. I always wonder, oh, that might not have been.
But that, I mean,
he might have been like, "Who the fuck is Steve?" Or I knew Steve was coming over here. Why is a neighbor calling me Steve?
It doesn't mean if I'm him, I don't even connect those dots. But maybe I don't know. But I used to have a roommate who it was a platonic relationship with a girl, and she would have gentleman suitors come over, and she would put on a real show. I'm talking like, you'd hear it if you had windows open, people down the block were hearing this shit. In fact, we had a neighbor write a note on our door and was like, "Could you keep your sounds of passion?" Like they were, it was like a real polite
Please
note.
Please name your yeah. next album, Sounds of Passion.
But it had nothing to do with me. It was my roommate. And
That's
I would.
A good one. That's nice. Your sounds of passion.
But I would tell her, I would be like, you don't have to yell that loud. Like, we all know you're fucking yeah. get over yourself. Like you're not getting that guy's not drilling you that good.
No.
You know what I mean? Where you have to make that sound. I used to tell girls when they'd come over, they'd hear her in the other end of the house. They'd be like, "What is that?" I'd be like, "Oh, it's haunted.
It's haunted."
Yeah. I'd just make a joke like that. I'd be like, "Or that's a little girl was murdered here years ago. That's her screaming."
We had
we'd fuck, you know.
I lived with a couple buddies when I moved to California, like the very first, because I've been here twice, the first time, and one guy had this Russian girlfriend, and she would do the same thing. She's hot, younger, and I mean scream, where we're like, Jesus Christ,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
for real. And we would play, me and his brother and I would be out playing Sega football on the Genesis the whole time. And every time she'd come out, we'd have like Olympic scores already made. And she'd come out, we would do like 6.5 and shit she's like, shut up. I'm like, I wasn't as good as last night. You're a little on the volume there.
My roommate was such a savage, this chick. I mean, she's still one of my friends. And she's like, she's just like, doesn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? And I remember I was smoking a cigarette and I heard her, I was on my patio, like outside my room smoking a cigarette. And she had been fucking. I went outside to like get some peace and quiet so I could just, I'm like, the night air. And then she came out after her session, left the guy like for dead in there or whatever, came out and like just kind of like leaned up on the balcony like, And then she like turns to me and she's like, "I have cum dripping out of my ass." And I was like,
"Oh my."
Okay.
All right.
I was like, wow.
Dirty
all right.
Sanchez
yeah. I was like, yeah. I was like, noted, you know, like what am I supposed to do with this information? I was like, you know, maybe try not to traipse it through the house when you get back in, you know. I don't know what do you want me to say to that lady, but she was pretty wild.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our sponsor, Burrow. Burrow is kind of hard to screw up a sofa. As long as you can sit on it, it's doing its job, right? Newsflash, your couch doesn't have to be just whatever. I've talked about this before. Made a huge mistake buying this kind of couch, then this one. Ended up, I should have just got a damn Burrow couch, all right? And if you don't have a comfortable couch right now during quarantine, you better get one, y'all. And if you're ready to upgrade to a sofa worthy of your space, you've got to go with the original disruptor furniture brand, Burrow. Burrow is the sofa you've been hearing me talk about already. It's the one with the built-in USB chargers. It's the disruptor furniture brand. This is the couch you get when you're ready to start actually choosing your furniture, whether you're furnishing your first place or graduating from inherited futons and ambivalent Craigslist purchases. Burrow sofas are easy to set up. They're easy to move. It's a very simple assembly. You don't even need tools. Durable fabric that's naturally scratch and stain resistant. You can be flexible about your seating with it. You can add or remove seats as needed. You can even convert a love seat or a sofa into a corner sectional in the future. Even if you're just starting to furnish your place, a Burrow sofa is the perfect starting point. It makes any space look good, all right? You can customize it to fit the look and seating style you want. You can pick your fabric color, the leg finish, the armrest style, the length. You can add a lounge or an ottoman or both. Burrow's more than sofas. They create all sorts of practical, stylish pieces for your home. They have a collection of affordable rugs, coffee tables, love seats, armchairs, and ottomans. A genius sleep kit. Transform your comfy sofa into an even comfier bed, and your guests will love sleeping on your Burrow. Burrow always offers free 1 week shipping and zero interest financing. That's huge. All right. Get $75 off your purchase and free 1 week shipping at burrow.com/honeydew. That's burrow.com/honeydew. You get $75 off and free 1 week shipping. let's say thank you to our next sponsor, ExpressVPN. All right. So we all know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, right? But here's something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. And that's huge right now if you're looking for different entertainment during this lockdown. And now that so many of us are stuck at home, it's only a matter of time till you run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. So this whole week, I've been using ExpressVPN to binge Doctor Who on UK Netflix. It's so simple to do, man. And if I can do it, you can do it. I just fire up the ExpressVPN app. I change my location to the UK and I refresh Netflix and boom, that's it. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. So just think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. If you love anime, ExpressVPN to access your Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there. But the reason I use ExpressVPN to watch shows is it's ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more, so you can watch what you want on a personal device or on the big screen wherever you are. If you visit my special link right now at expressvpn.com/honeydew, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself with ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/honeydew. Now let's get back to the dew.
Well, you got another, yeah, we got another story up there. We're talking about living with people. You got dad up
so
there.
So after I lived with this girl, because I got to the point where I love her still to this day, but like she partied at that time a lot. Like, and I was doing morning radio. So like she'd come home at like 3 a.m.
And you're getting
people
up.
Are doing blow and I'm like supposed to get up soon. And like, it was just too much. And so my dad at the time, him and I had like reconciled after he had left for Pittsburgh. After like him and my mom divorced, I hadn't talked to him for like a year.
Really? A full year?
Yeah. For a full year. Cause he like, he had been fucking around with my mom like when I was a kid.
But prior, let me ask you so yeah. real quick. So prior to all that, did you have a good relationship with your dad?
Oh, then? Yeah. And I know my dad loves me and like more than anybody else. I have a good relationship with him to this day. But
he'd
like,
been cheating
he
on
was,
your mom.
When I was a kid, he was doing that. And
did
we,
you know
we,
it then?
Yeah, we found out. There later. Was a time when we found out and I got, I don't know if I've told this. Stop me if I've, have I talked about this on here? I don't know.
I don't
but
think
I,
so.
I found out in like 7th grade was the first time I found out. And my mom like, is so bad at telling my mom is so bad at telling bad news or like handling things. I remember when Princess Diana died, she like came into my room to like wake me up to tell me about it. Princess Diana died. And I was like 12. It's like you couldn't wait till the next day.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah.
So my mom picked me up from my friend's house one time and she was like, and my sister's in the car and they're like both crying and I'm like, what's going on? And I'm in 7th grade or something. And she's like, your father's been cheating on me with this woman and blah, blah, blah. So then she like takes us to confront my dad.
And where is he when you
he was at like going to be leaving work.
Oh, my gosh. He rolled up with the family at his job.
Yeah.
Because what did he do?
So like he was running a restaurant at the time.
So pulling up in front of a restaurant.
Yeah. This is like in a plaza, like a strip mall, too. So
I
like,
remember this story.
No. So I don't think I told it. But I, in 7th grade, you know, when your mom tells you that, I got, like, angry at my dad. So, like, I had a baseball bat in the trunk of my mom's car, and I got it, and I was, like, doing shit, like, swinging it around, being like let's
Warriors.
Go. Like, like I was in the Warriors. Like, and I was, my dad's like,
what out there?
Yeah, and my dad's like, what are you gonna, my dad's like, what are you gonna fucking do? You're gonna hit me with a baseball bat? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you just kind of brushed it off or whatever. And I never did anything, but I was like, let's go, you know, like fucking, like I was trying to get him to rumble or whatever. And then,
so did she go in and pull him out of the, get him out of the restaurant in front of everyone?
Yeah. I mean, it was wild. It was like
people looking out the window.
He
like
drove
a kid with a bat.
It must have been like when he got off or something. Cause like he got in his car and left and then like showed up later that night and they had like a huge fight and like, it was like a nightmare, but then they like reconciled and stayed together. So then, you know, the second time that it happened, I was older. I was 25. And I tell a joke about this on stage, so I won't get into the story too much, but I challenged my dad to a fight, and I lost it. So, but then, like, I was having my own problems at the time, too. I had just gotten, like, a DUI, and, like, I was in a different place, too, mentally. So, like, I didn't talk to my dad for, like, a year. And he had moved to Pittsburgh and, like, opened a bar for a little while there. And so we had reconciled, and he decided he was coming back from Pittsburgh, and I wanted out of this situation with this girl that I was living with because it was just getting to be too much. And so we decided, like, let's get a place together, like a couple swinging bachelors. And remember how that girl was making a lot of noise during sex? Well, my father also decided to be the same way.
Wait, your dad's, he fucks loud?
Well, I mean, yeah, the chicks that he was fucking.
Oh, him or the girls?
Oh, but, I mean, the girls, yeah, like. Let's just say there would be fucking, and it didn't even have to necessarily be that loud because he would just leave his bedroom door open.
Come on.
Yeah. And
you're how old?
This is right before I moved to LA.
Oh, okay.
This is like recently.
He would leave his door open and just fuck?
Yeah.
Where you could see in and everything.
I mean, I wasn't home. So like I would come home from a show, say like late at night, and I'd like walk. I'd hear it, the door's open. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And I'd go in my room and like shut the door, and I'd still like hear, like, you know, the house would be shaking.
I gotta ask. The way I heard Give It to Me, Steve, or Shh, No Talking, what did you, there's got to be a line you heard somebody say, one that sticks in your head coming home.
Oh,
there's got to be. I know there's one or two. I know there's something in I know there's something up there that haunts you.
There's not. I wish there was a word. It's just sounds. You know what I'm saying? Just like, and now I guess this woman is my new stepmom, so it's even weirder. So, but yeah, so it's just sounds and stuff like that. But I confronted, I said to my dad, I go, Hey dude, like, I get it. Like, I don't care. It's your house. You can fuck in it. You know what I mean? Like,
you work hard.
Yeah.
You
it's like, you pay the rent on time. I mean, we're both adults. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but could you shut the door? And he goes, how will the dog go in and out?
Oh my God. That's what he's worried about.
Because the dog would cry. The dog would be like, arr, arr. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's, you know, the dog crying is worse than traumatizing your son.
Yeah,
no, that's totally.
You crying out
there. Yeah. Got it. Noted.
That would be weird to hear your dad just banging it out. That would be really fucking weird.
I mean, and then I remember I'd have my, because at the time when I first moved in there, I had a girlfriend, and she would be like, let's have sex. I'm like, my dad's out there. You know, I would freak out about that.
Your dad's fucking with the door.
Yeah. Then she would say that.
Your
like,
dad's ass.
She would say, she'd go, your dad doesn't give a fuck that we can hear him. And I'm like, I know, but I guess I have more pride. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I put Blockbuster up there. I don't know why.
Yeah, what,
I was because
I got a Blockbuster story.
Well, here's the thing. I learned my financial intellect through Blockbuster, and that I have zero of it. And I should have known I should never have a credit card when I started fucking around with Blockbuster, because I would love movies, right? I'd rent movies or in video games. I was in Blockbuster all the time. I was like one of those guys who like thought, like, when I grow up, I want to work in a movie store. You know what I mean? So I could have my shelf.
Not Hollywood.
With
video,
my
Blockbuster.
Yeah. So I was there all the time, but I was really bad at like returning things. I would forget that I had things out, blah, blah, blah. So my mom would be like, there's an $80 charge for this video game. You could have just bought the fucking video game for $80. And I had that happen all the time, like constantly. And it got to the point where my mom like eventually owed Blockbuster at one point like hundreds of dollars. And she like lost her fucking mind on me. Like, to like, you know how parents are, like if you bang up the car or something, like,
yeah.
It was like that. It was like, she's like, I can't pay this. Like, this is fucking crazy. Like, you're not allowed to go to Blockbuster anymore. And I remember I figured out a way, because she blocked me from being able to rent on her card. And I manipulated the clerk into bypassing it like six times. And she was like, how am I still getting Blockbuster charges on here? I thought you, I said you can't go there. And I told them not to let you rent on this and stuff. And the way that I did it was I pretended that I was doing it like that. I was like, I don't know if I want to say this.
Don't.
Okay.
Don't say it. You just said enough right there. Okay. You don't know. Don't do it.
Okay. And I
leave it alone.
And I, so
you
I
manipulated
just,
the system.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
You pulled at some heartstrings.
Basically, yeah, I got him into thinking that my mom does that because I am the way that I am.
Sure.
And, but she wouldn't mind. I wrote a note, or she had a note, and it was, like, really great handwriting, too, so, like, cursive and everything. Like, I wouldn't have been able to write it kind of thing.
Yeah. Yours would have been in crayon.
Yeah. So he let me do that, like, about a dozen times, and my mom was like, what the fuck? How am I still getting Blockbuster charges on you? So, I don't know. I thought that was a honeydew story. I don't know if that was one or not. But,
it is one.
But Blockbuster was like...
I wonder how much, when they finally closed, I wonder how much they were owed in back, like, rentals and all.
That's
that.
How they
like,
made all their money, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean,
for
the,
sure. The
I mean,
penalties.
It almost made me wonder, because, like, how, remember when banks got in trouble for the late fees and stuff like that? They ended up having to cut some... I got a check cut to me by a bank one time because of all my overdraft fees. That they were like apparently illegally charging me. How Blockbuster, I bet, if they would have lasted long enough, would have fallen in some sort of like class action lawsuit where they would have had to do something like that. Because yeah. Their late fees were astronomical. It would get to the point where, like my mom said, you could buy six movies
right.
for the amount of time this isn't even like lawful at a certain point. You know, it's gotta have a cap on it.
A friend of mine told me a story about Blockbuster one time. We'll never forget because I feel bad for the kid, but it was like him and three of his buddies, probably, you know, 13, 14 years old. And the mom took them out on a Friday night and was like, all right, I'm going into Joann Fabrics next door. You guys go to Blockbuster. It's about to close, but get in there, get the movie you want for tonight or whatever. So they go in and one of the four kids has to take a shit so bad. And he asked them, he's like, can I please use your restroom? They're like, it's not for customers. And he's like, but I'm going to shit really bad. And they're like, it's not for customers. And he's panicking. So he tells his buddies, like, ask this guy a question and get him to the back. And they do. And he pulls his pants down and he shits in the trash can that's up there where they just drop their trash.
Oh, my God.
Power. She's like 13 or power shitting in this trash can. Okay.
Solids are like
diarrhea power shitting okay. in this fucking trash can. No wipes, no nothing. Pulls his pants up. And then he just fucking runs out. And then he leaves them in there with it. And they got to get their goddamn movie. And he shit. He said he was so humiliated. He just shit in a Blockbuster trash can. While people were walking around getting
Someone's
movies.
Like, Schindler's List.
Oh, my God. Say Schindler's List.
Yeah. I'm over here in the foreign film God. Section. And it smells like a fresh deuce.
What's this one up here? Saliva.
Oh, well, I was going to say before we get to that,
yes, please.
The Blockbuster thing, if you wanted to lend more credence to it, I know you were interested in my picture I posted of my high school.
Yeah, yes. Can we? Thank you.
I mean,
yeah,
so yeah. That was like around the same time as.
Look at that.
Yeah. So like, imagine that guy coming into Blockbuster and be like, my
listen,
mom
my
said...
hair's not far from that right now. I could probably comb my hair to look like that.
Oh, that's when, I mean, I was losing my hair. This is like. Between
you should
junior
have a,
and senior year.
Hold on. Can we have a Josh Potter challenge and see how many people right now could mimic that picture of you?
I mean, sure.
You should.
Look at that facial hair. I was like, what was
yeah,
I trying
beautiful
to...
teeth.
You know what it was, dude? I was trying to be in radio.
That starter kit
this
facial
is when
hair
I was,
right
I was
there.
An intern at the radio station, so I was like, if I have a goatee...
Robert Paul Champagne. Yeah. I said, hi, handsome.
Well,
RPC.
So, yeah, I mean...
I
grew that fucking goatee.
How old are you here?
I'm between junior and senior year, and I just started my internship at the radio station. So I was like, I need them to think I'm older, you know, like than I am or whatever.
Got that mock turtleneck going. I remember I had mock
turtleneck. No, there's no mock turtleneck. That's just my neck, dog. That's a t-shirt. I'm doing a white.
But look how high the neck comes up on. It's like, I thought.
No,
were...
that's just a t-shirt without like a, like I'm wearing one right now with like a V-cut. But
oh,
like,
I
that
see.
One has like a no V-cut.
That's just a regular crew.
Yeah, and then I have like the open gray dress shirt. Like, yep. What was I doing? But
nice teeth, starter facial hair. Yeah. Glasses look nice.
They were just the wire, yeah, framed glasses. I think I had to use like different glasses than real because
that's
they
just,
were too reflective. Or
that's
whatever.
A substitute pair
they
for the picture.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You told talk about honeydew, yeah, bro. Dude. Couldn't even put your real glasses because it could fuck up my camera.
Because, yeah. Dude, that's happened in every... That's why I hate headshots and shit, dude. Every time I go for a headshots or people tell me, they're like, you need new headshots. And, like, I love Troy. He's, like, the only guy that I, like... I think he knows that I'm so self-conscious about getting my picture taken that he's, like, very... What's the word? Like, helps me along with it. But I get so... Because I've had photographers be so like, look, you got to take those fucking glasses off. I'm like, oh, so I can look like the Terminator? I don't ever have my glasses off. Why would I have a headshot where I don't have my glasses
right.
on, you fucking idiot? But yeah, this is what I devolved into by the end of the
year. So the beginning of the year was picture one. This is picture two.
Yeah,
here.
This
You're
is
there,
like a senior trip here for our business club, Deca. We thought we were going to be our winner, like, we were in Decable, which is like a business trivia sort of thing. So that was our team right there. A bunch of real...
What is DECA?
Scholars.
What is DECA?
DECA is like a business club. I forget what the acronym stands for, but it's a nationwide business club. And like you go through, there's various things. It actually like helped me get a internship pretty early on in radio through like communications and stuff like that, like through public speaking contests and things like that. But yeah, so we were in that. We were a bunch of degenerates who basically all lived in that hotel room for a weekend playing Mario Kart. And like,
are these two on the right? Our right brothers?
No.
No, they look alike a little to me.
No, none of those are brothers, but those were my high school friends.
DECA, huh?
Yeah, dog. DECA, what the heck? Not in DECA, what the heck? That's what we used to say. But to wrap it up there, those saliva glands, like, I think about this because now, you know, we're not doing gigs and stuff like that. And to, like, kind of bring it full circle, you know, like, I have... given up all those things, like I said, traveling here just to do comedy. Now that we can't, it's like the one thing that I gave everything up to do, and now yeah. I can't do it, so it's like making me fucking nuts. And the one time that I like had to cancel doing it on my own volition, or whatever that word is, I think I said that right, was
volition.
When I had a gig in Tampa Bay at the Tampa Improv, and the week leading up to it, all of a sudden I got this, like, I thought it was swollen glands, you know, when your glands get swollen. And I couldn't, like, open my mouth all the way. It was really painful. And it was, like, I was having trouble swallowing. And it progressed to the point where then I couldn't speak. Like, I couldn't even open my mouth without hurt. Like, it was, like, so swollen, so painful. I couldn't speak or swallow. I couldn't even, like, sip water through a straw. It was rough, dude. And I called Tom. I'm like, should I cancel the weekend? Like, I can't talk. And he was like, yeah, if you can't talk, you have to cancel the weekend. So I went to urgent care to find out like what was going on. I'm like, do I have tonsillite? Like, I don't even know what the fuck this is. What it turns out it was, you know how you can get stones in your kidneys?
Yeah.
I had stones in my saliva glands.
You can get that?
Yeah, dude.
What the from what? What is that? Is it
same
like
way.
Calcium buildup and all that shit?
Same way as you can get them in your kidneys. It just happens in your saliva glands. Like I had apparently, like I guess I was drinking a lot of iced tea at the time.
I'm a big iced tea drinker. Yeah.
So,
but sweet or unsweet?
I was drinking like those Arizona cans,
sweet,
you know.
Ones,
so
yeah,
probably. So, I mean, I don't know that that's what did it, but I had to pass them through my skin, essentially, like on you know, like the skin at the bottom of your mouth.
Oh, they have to come out.
Yeah, like because they have to
out?
Surgically remove
are
them
they hard?
Or yeah, dude. I remember like when I finally passed one. It's not like passing it through your dick. It's probably I would venture to say that's worse. But this is like
it is.
Yeah,
I can tell you
this was like I had to basically like get like a hot compress and like salt, you know, like gargle salt water and stuff. Basically trying to like force it through to protrude the skin. Or they could have like I could have done oral surgery or whatever. But that would have been
how long was the whole process to. From
it was days, like a week it took to get them to pass through my
and
I was out of work
painful?
For a while because I was in radio too. So I remember I was out for like 3 days and they were like, you don't have any sick time left. And I'm like, okay, I'll come into work. So I show up and I get in front of the microphone and I'm like, that was stained, you know, like yeah. I'm like, next up we have Metallica and then I'll let you know about the bike night on Wednesday. Like, so I'm like eating it, like they're like, okay, get off the air, you can go home. Like they basically I show them, I'm like, see, this is what I'm dealing with, you fucking idiot.
Is it painful like way kidney stones are?
Yeah, it was painful in terms of like it was just making everything in my mouth painful, but it wasn't painful in terms of it passing other than it breaking the skin. as far as I remember. Yeah. It was almost like a relief once it came out, because then it was like, and then you're like, holy shit, you know, because it's like in here and shit, you know. And but yeah, canceling that weekend, I remember I'm like, I was devastated. I'm like, they're never going to have me back. And like all this stuff. I was so sad that I had to cancel the weekend, but I couldn't speak, let alone for a half hour on stage, you know? But I remember I had a girlfriend at the time who was helping me. Like, she's like, it's going to be okay. She was like, do you want me to go get you something? She was like trying to help me. And this is where I learned, like, maybe I'm not good in relationships, because I'd be like, leave me alone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
Instead why do like, I get that kind of, yeah, exactly. Why do I get that way? I don't know.
Get the fuck out of here.
Don't try to help me.
You don't even know what I'm dealing with right now. I just canceled a Tampa weekend. You don't even fucking know.
It's so funny you say that, because the first full headline weekend I ever got at the Brea Improv, I was doing it right after Christmas, and I was doing like two Friday and two Saturday, I think I was doing something like that. And I'm in the shower getting ready to go out, and I just collapse. I've never dropped to my knees before. Not even in sports, in a fight, I've never taken a knee. I went to my knees, and I was like, what the fuck is this? And
were you like dizzy or just weak?
No, just weak, like incredibly. You just, it's such an excruciating pain that all you can do is just try to recoil into yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you let it radiate a full size, it'd be even worse.
You're like Dr. Manhattan.
You can't think straight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to cancel this fucking weekend. I can't. So, but I don't want to. I try to go to the ER. I have my daughter's mother at the time drove me. And I remember she had a rental car, and I was in so much pain. I was punching the fucking roof on the, I mean, going. She's like, I didn't get the insurance. And I'm like, you should have got the fucking insurance. And I'm just, and I don't know what is going on. It ended up being kidney stones. And I couldn't, I had to send a picture. Like, they were like, hey, do you think you can still make it this weekend? And I was just like, nope. And nothing.
Did you pump them out your dick?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it took a while, too. And it was.
Does it make your dick hole bigger after? Like, does it stretch it out?
I don't want to sit there and say yes or no. I'll tell you what happened to
me. You didn't measure it before.
I know other people, like, my brother had one where, this sucks. But it was so big, they went in and they break it apart so that you can pass it. The problem is now, however many pieces there are, you got to piss those out. So you went from one big one to maybe nine little ones, you know?
It's the Armageddon thing. It's like you're going to have just rain down this entire asteroid on
And they gave me a heads up. He's like, look, it's in your, it's called your ureteral tube. And it's a tube that's like a hose. It's not meant to expand. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And you're shoving a golf ball through a garden hose, except that golf ball is jagged. Like it looks like an asteroid. When that thing, so they give you this little strainer with a screen, because the goal is to catch it. If you can get that stone, you can take it to them. They can tell you what's in it, iced tea, you know, whatever,
right?
Dairy. He was like, do you drink iced tea? I go, yeah, but it's unsweetened iced tea. He goes, okay, but do you eat a lot of dairy? I was like, yeah, I love cheese. And he's like, that combo causes crystals, all the whatever.
Yeah.
So I canceled that whole weekend. It was brutal, and that's when my legs started clotting, and then ended up that kidney stone allowed me to find out I have this disease called factor V Leiden. But back to that, it was like I had to piss and fill up this jug, and I had to keep that jug in my fridge. You know, you got to keep it cold.
Why in your fridge?
Because he said you got to keep it cold for whatever, and bring it back and keep testing it. So I would do all this shit, and one day. The real pain is going through the tube. Once it's in your bladder, it's a pebble in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Then it's got to come out of your dick. That's the problem. And you don't know when that's going to happen. And you just sit there. And I would sit. I would sit and pee. And I would try to catch it in the strainer, but it wouldn't come out. It wouldn't come out. I'm like, ah. And then this one piss I took, I felt it go, poof, and it stopped. I was like, oh. And I knew the next one was going to be the one.
Oh.
And I peed it out. And it did not hurt. It hurt. But it didn't hurt anything like this. After passing through this tube,
it was like almost a relief.
It was a huge relief, and I caught it. And I remember going, yes! Like, I was screaming. I was so excited. This thing looked like it was Darth Vader, bro. It was black as pure asphalt.
Oh,
it looked like a mini asteroid. Jagged, sharp edges, and you're like, oh, my
that's
God.
That's what this shit looked like coming out of my face. I'm like, oh, my God. I had one time when I was five, I was peeing. And I kept, like, you know, when, like, you're a kid, you miss the toilet sometimes. but I was missing it a lot. And my mom was like, "Are you R-worded?" Like, she started like checking in on me, like when I was peeing, because she's like, "You're fucking pissing all over the floor." I'm like, "I don't know." And turns out my piss stream was crooked.
Why?
So they didn't
just
know.
Just the way you were born. It's yeah, not because there was
just
a stone
turns out,
or anything.
We didn't know. We didn't know if there was an obstruction.
Right, yeah.
So I had to go get a camera shoved up my dick hole.
Oh, man, dude, I can't. Even catheters, thinking of catheters.
I was awake.
No numbing or anything?
I was 5 years old, and I remember it.
Like a Polaroid.
Like it was, like I could remember like it was this morning.
That's what trauma does.
Yeah, yeah. I remember people holding me down and them doing it and like.
Dude, how big? Do you remember how big?
I don't remember. I don't even. I had to call my dad and ask him what they put in my penis because I thought it was a needle. I couldn't remember that aspect or even why I was there, but I remember it happening so vividly. And I also remember afterwards because it was like, it wasn't like I stayed in the hospital overnight for this shit. It was like we left right afterwards. And I was like, you know, limping and shit, you know, with my fucking 5-year old dick. It just took a lot of fucking action, you know.
That's a beating, yeah.
Yeah. So. We go out for, we go to Perkins for pancakes afterwards, and they told me the first time I pee is going to be a little rough, so.
That's all they say, though, rough.
Well, I mean, they don't tell me this, but they tell my parents this. So my parents are like, well, if you have to go pee, let us know, because we have to come with you. They didn't tell me why or anything, or that it's going to hurt. So I'm drinking fucking apple juice like it's going out of style at Perkins, you know, like. Not thinking twice about it. So I go, I have to go to the bathroom if it's, you know, worth anything. And so my dad's like, all right, let's go. And so my dad's like standing behind me. I'm like, why do you have to stand behind me? And he's like, you just in case. And he's like, well, we have to like make sure from the thing, you know? So I start peeing and all of a sudden it's like I'm shooting fire out of my dick. I just start screaming and I'm like, and I'm peeing and my dad grabs under my arms because my legs buckle and I almost like would have just collapsed to the ground from the pain. And I'm peeing everywhere. I'm like, like it's
trust fall.
Like, and I'm trying to like stop peeing, but it's burning more and more. Obviously the buildup is burning. My urethra is fucked. So it's like it when it's inside. So I'm like letting it out afterwards. I'm like, my knees are shaking and I'm like, and my dad's like, come on, we'll go back out. The Perkins waitress brings our check, you know, and I'm just like, like I'm fucking dead, dude. Like, is this gonna happen every time I pee? They're like, maybe the next 3 or 4, you know, like something like that.
Holy shit.
So it was like, you know, it was like a thing that would have to like wear off after a little while. But it was brutal.
God damn, dude.
Yeah, dude. It was rough for sure. There was one other thing I was gonna say to wrap it up, but I forgot it now that I brought up that
the trauma of your dick.
Woof. I don't even remember what we got on the.
We were talking about tonsil stone, or not tonsil stone, saliva. See, yeah, I know about tonsil stones, but you had saliva
the glands,
stones.
Yeah, yeah, man, the saliva gland one was something I had never heard of until I went to that urgent care.
It's the first time I've ever heard of that. I didn't know that.
I didn't know about it either. Like I said, it was crazy. Yeah, I can't remember that final fucking thing, what we were talking about. I'm sorry.
Kidney stones.
I derailed it.
Peeing.
No. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. You went through something traumatic.
Yeah, dude. That story came back to me. And it was like fucking, now I'm remembering that pain. Dude, it was so painful. Like I did black out from pain, like when I was taking a piss, but yeah, so.
Well, brother, thank you as always for being here.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Please stay healthy. Please promote everything again.
Oh, yeah. twitch.tv/Josh_Potter. That's the only thing I got going on right now. And if, you know, things go as planned, my Sacramento date that was supposed to happen in the beginning of April has been rescheduled for September 3rd through 5th. So if you're a gambling man or woman and you want to buy tickets, go ahead. It's on the website, so we'll see.
Hopefully we're back out there live soon. This is crazy.
Yeah, dude.
As always, I'm Ryan Sickler. Please go right now at the end of this, subscribe to my YouTube page, send in your Patreon stories. I did forget to say at the end, the Honeydew with y'all. Just email me at ryan@ryansickler.com or at the honeydew podcast@gmail.com. Either of those is fine. And just give me a quick blip on what your story is and why you would like to be on the show, and then I'll start going through them, and we'll eventually get them up there soon here and be doing the Honey Do with y'all.
When you introduce that one, are you going to say, it's the Honey Do with y'all, y'all?
That's exactly what I'm going to say. Welcome back to the Honey Do with y'all. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Talk to y'all next week.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.